17, Romans chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 17. That's page number 831 in the Pew Bible. Romans 2, verse number 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew. Remember, we said something there about that word, behold. When you say behold, you're beholding something. Look at that, we could say today. Thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou art thyself a guide of the blind, the light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge. Notice what he says there. Don't miss that form. Has a form of knowledge. When you think about that word form, you think about this verse of Scripture. They have a form of godliness. They have a form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest not thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name, and this is key today in one sense, it's part of what we'll focus on, or a point that we'll make. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. Baptism, we could say, verily profiteth. It's good, it's profitable if you're obedient unto Christ. If you're living the life of a Christian and you just haven't gotten wet, if that's all that's happened. All right. For circumcision, again, verse 25, verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, we said circumcision being the Jew, the uncircumcision being the Gentile. If the uncircumcision keep the law, or the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter, again, don't miss that, the letter, by the letter, they're keeping the letter of the law, by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Our Heavenly Father, once again, as we bow before your presence this morning, we come, Father, humbly confessing our need, Father, to hear from you, not to hear from a man, not just to read words on a print page, not just to try to decipher things by our own intellect, but to truly hear, to truly know that you have spoken, Father, unto us. And, Father, asking for grace that you'd help us to be a doer of those things that we hear. And, Father, not just a hearer of them and go away unchanged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, what have we been talking about in Romans chapter 2? Because likely this will be the last message in Romans chapter 2 before we move on to chapter 3. So we had in chapter 1 the man who doesn't have a Bible. That's a Bible, Austin. Look at that thing. That's thick, isn't it? I don't know that I've seen a Bible much thicker than that. That is a Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Didn't know
it. Thick pages.
Yeah, that's a Bible. Wow. Thick pages. But the man in Romans chapter 1, no Bible. He didn't have the Scriptures. But he had the witness of nature. He had the conscience. The man in Romans chapter 2, he's got those things also. He has the Scriptures. What does he do with those things that he has? Well, as we read, not just read what we read today, but as we read through chapter 2, we found that he was a man that judges others. Oh, how careful we've got to be. People will say all the time, Sister Louise, judge not lest you be judged. Or they won't even go that far. They'll say, judge not, not supposed to judge. That's not true. You are supposed to judge. But when you judge with righteous judgment. And you're out and you see somebody doing something and you begin to condemn them, you better look at yourself. Am I guilty of that? Can I really point the finger at that person and not point a finger at myself? Does that not speak to me? Or am I going to be like these guys here in Romans chapter 2 who are just speaking to other people and they don't speak to themselves? They're telling people, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't do this, don't do that. But Paul's saying, you're doing it. You're doing the thing that you're telling people not to do. So he judges others, but he himself does the same things that he sees others doing. And he supposes somehow he's going to escape the judgment of God. But he's not. How does he suppose he's going to escape the judgment of God? I'm a Jew. I have the law. We're God's favorite. I'm of Abraham's seed. You know, believe it or not, people can get that kind of idea living in our country. Right? We're a Christian nation. You know, that's what they would say. And so they think by virtue of that, that somehow applies, you know, unto their lives, even though they don't live for God. They don't care about the things of God. They don't care about the Word of God. They don't care about glorifying Christ. They don't care about having Christ in the heart and living for Christ. For me to live is Christ and die is gain. You know, that's not a concern for them. So that happens, you know, even here. But he supposes because of that, he'll escape the judgment of God. I was born into a Christian household. My parents are Christians. I can remember as a kid thinking that. You know, I mean, I didn't know much about things. I was a little guy. Mom and dad are Christian. I'm a Christian. You know, it was no different for me at that point than if my dad had liked, you know, the Dallas Cowboys. Well, I'm a Cowboy fan, too. You know, it would have been along those same lines. You know, that kind of, not that he was. I mean, I would have had to say something like, my dad's a hard worker. I'm going to be a hard worker, too. You know, that would that's where it went. I would not have said, my dad likes to jump out of airplanes. I'm going to jump out of airplanes, too. Because he didn't like to do that. And he's joked with us about that over the years, over and over again. One day we're going to take him down to that iFly, you know, thing where you can go down the woodlands and they throw you in that tube and the air's blowing, you know, where you, and see if he really, you know, wants to do that. He might like that. But they lightly esteemed God's goodness to them. I mean, hadn't God been good to them? God's been good to all of us. What privileges they had. I mean, compared to the other nations. I mean, and you could transfer that, Austin, to us. What privileges we've had. I mean, you were holding that big old Bible. I mean, a lot of people don't even have one of those pages, you know, that are in there, even in our day. You know, what privileges, you know, we've been given. I mean, just think about it from the... Okay, let me go ahead and make application of this a little bit to you and me as Christians. We have access to God. I mean, Sister Louise, I can come before the Lord and pray anytime. How often do I do it? You know, how often do I do it? How hypocritical is that of me, you know, not to take everything to the Lord in prayer? I know I'm supposed to. You quoted the verse this morning. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. How hypocritical is it of me? I'm pointing at these guys and saying, those Pharisees, you know, what about me? You know, am I, they weren't making application of these things. Am I making application? I mean, as I hear a sermon being preached, am I just a hearer or am I a doer of those things? Am I making application of them? Am I thinking about them? Am I saying, Lord, how does this apply to me? Is there anything here that I need to be doing? You know, what about that, Lord? You know, what about that in my life? You know, can you give me some light here about that and show me, is there any wicked way in me in regards to that? You know, am I doing something that's dishonoring you or that you're not approving of? You know, where am I? And not just sitting there thinking, well, that was a good sermon for so-and-so. Well, what about me? Is that a good sermon for me? So, lightly esteeming God's goodness to them. They had a stubborn and unrepentant heart. They were selfishly ambitious and self-seeking. It was all about them. It wasn't about others. You know, even in their teaching others, it was all about them. Because it was a matter of, look at me. You know, look what I know. And you need to listen to me. And you need to pay attention to what I say. I'm important. And what I have to say is important. That was their kind of outlook there. But so selfishly ambitious and self-seeking. we read that they do not obey the truth, but they obey unrighteousness. That's an interesting way to look at it, isn't it? I mean, here you are as a Christian, you're wanting to obey the truth, and there's other people out there that are, they won't put it that way. I mean, you would say about yourself that you're seeking to obey the truth. You're seeking to obey the Lord. But they wouldn't say about themselves that they're seeking to obey unrighteousness. They're seeking to obey sin. They're seeking to obey darkness. They're seeking to obey the devil. They wouldn't say it that way. But it says here, they do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. They do evil. Here they have the law, they've sinned under the law. They have light, but they've sinned against the light. Of course, all men to a degree have done that, but these had a greater light than the ones in Romans chapter 1. They had the Bible. They had the Scriptures. So they were a hearer. Careful. They were a hearer of these things, but not a doer. Can we be guilty of the same? Yeah. Have we ever been guilty of the same? Yeah. Yeah. How many times we've sat there and we've not come prepared. We know there's something going on in our lives that some sin it's causing us problems in our relationship with the Lord. I mean, it's something that's between. I mean, I want to be able to sing that hymn, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." Not of this world's delusive dream. You know, nothing of pride or worldly favor. You know, that's not what I'm after. I want nothing between He and I. If I can't do it and glorify God in the doing of it, I don't need to be doing it, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to, but we still do those things, don't we? There's still things that we do that we couldn't say, yes, I can do that and glorify God. And part of that's your conscience, too. I mean, for me, I drive between two beer distributorships every day to work. Honestly, Sister Carolyn, my conscience would just beat me up every day working there. Yeah. I don't have to, thankfully. And what if it was the only thing I had to do to be able to feed my family? I have to really examine, you know, that. Anyway. Hearer and not a doer. So they had in the law the embodiment of the truth. And they would say one thing, do this, and they would do another. We said that was a definition of a hypocrite, right? That's what we said. They boasted in God. Well, if I'm going to make my boast in the Lord, what do I want that to look like? Here's what I want it to look like, Brother Doug. In the midst of the people that I work with, I want my boast in God to be seen in such a way like, here I have a problem, I've sought the Lord over it, the Lord's provided an answer, and the Lord's, you know, or given me grace to sustain me. You know, I want my boast in the Lord to be like that. Not just in the fact that I have the law, not just in the fact that I've got these phylacteries that are all over me with the Scripture written on it, not just in the fact that I can stand on the street corner and make long pretense of prayer, you know, those things that the Pharisee, you know, would have been known for. But if we're going to make our boast in the Lord, you know, then we want it to be in that way where what we do, God's glorified in. You know, and that we only do what we can do that God would be glorified in. Not doing that is hypocritical. We know better. We say one thing and we're doing another. You know, we can find ourselves in the same place. You know, we can go back to Peter this morning and Lord saying, "You're going to deny me three times," and Peter saying, "No way, not going to happen." You know, making his boast in himself when he knows. And you and I know we can't make our boast in anything but God. If I'm going to make a boast that I'm not going to do something, I better put behind it this, Brother Dunn, by God's grace. It was that woman's birthday recently. And I gave her a birthday card. And a lot of times, each of us will write things in because somebody else wrote that. A lot of them, you're like, I got to fix that. And it talked about, I can't remember exact words, but having always loved her and always will. Well, I put always loved her by God's grace, always will by God's grace. You know, that needs to be on the back of it. Right, Heath? How am I going to do it? I mean, I could say that to her and, you know, 6 months from now, she'd be thinking, She runs across that birthday card. Whoa. Yeah. This is not where we are right now. So saying one thing and doing another. Making our boast. We're going to make our boast. Let it be in the Lord. Let it be in Him. By God's grace, I will. By God's grace, God enabling me. I mean, how many times have you and I said, I'm not going to do something? And what happened? We did it. We did it. Guilty of it. What if Peter had said, Lord, by your grace, I won't do that. I don't want to do that. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you. I don't want to deny you. I know in my flesh I'm capable. I confess. If I'm left to myself, there's no way I could do anything else but deny you in the face of men, you know, and authority and power that could end my life. Not thinking about, you know, you being sovereign over all things. I could deny you, absolutely. But by your grace, Lord, I don't want to. I don't want to be that. And these people had been, it's another thing it says about them, they were instructed in the law. Confident they were, the scripture said there in chapter 2, that they could teach and lead others. They had the letter, we stopped on that, made a point of it. The letter of the law, outwardly keeping it, they were moral, but inwardly, they were breaking it. Their praise, didn't we see there the last verse there? We could look at it in the reverse, because the last verse, in verse number 29, is talking about the person who is a Jew inwardly, whose praise is not of men, but of God. But of the Pharisees, we could turn it around, their praise was of men and not of God. So we want our praise to be of God, not of men. Their praise was of men and not of God. They were serving in the letter of the law, but not in the spirit. You know, some people make a point about that, don't they, about things. You know, I'm abiding by the letter of the law. Yeah, but you're not abiding by the spirit of the law. Who is it that abides by the letter of the law? Yeah, well, here's this loophole over here. I know that's not what the law is saying, but I found a loophole, and therefore I'm going to go and do that, because that gives me an out, so I don't have to keep that law. You know, I can legally, which is, you know, the spirit of the law is not being kept. You know, legally I can break that law because here's this loophole, and the law can't do anything to touch me. But that's what they were. It was the letter of the law. That's what they were about. You know, for us, it's the spirit of the law. You know, what's the intent? You know, here. What is God saying unto me here? What does He expect of me here? What does He desire of me here? How would He have me to obey Him here? It's the spirit, you know, of the law. God will judge, we saw, according to truth, as we were going through, and we're trying to wrap this up in chapter 2, remember? He will judge according to truth. Not that you've checked some boxes off, I've done that. No, He's going to judge according to truth, according to the heart, not outward things, but inwardly. Because there's no partiality with God. It's a good place for that to show up here, isn't it? Because we're talking about Jews. Paul's speaking, there's no partiality with God. You know, one person, you know, makes this profession like the Pharisee over here. But then you got the other person like the publican. I know I keep going back there, but what a good example it is. Here's the person over here, you know, who's, there's the heart. You know, here's the letter, but there's the spirit, you know. So not just checking off some things in our lives and relying upon the fact that I've done those things, because we can go back to what we said this morning. Lord, Lord, did we not? Let me check some things off for you. Let me remind you. Let me do this in your name, that in your name. You know, I'm checking some boxes. Didn't you see that? You saw that, didn't you? You know, I get credit for that, right? No. No, it's the heart. It's the heart. Because I could do the letter of the law, Sister Louise. You know, I went over and helped Sister Carolyn yesterday with a hot water heater. Heath was upset because she didn't say anything to him because he would have done it. Yeah. Well, why didn't she say something? I would have gone over there and helped her. Yeah. Why did I go over there and do that? Well, Lord, you're watching this, right? I'm going to go over and do this. I get credit for that, right? I'm going to check this box. You said help other people. I'm helping them. But where's my heart? That's what we're talking about Wednesday night. We were talking about where's the heart? You know, Andrew, I was telling Dad about this. Andrew said something about a guy that was just right on his bumper, you know, on the way home on Wednesday night. And he said, I thought about tapping on my brakes. Well, my mind immediately goes to, what spirit are you of? Remember, that's what you read about. What spirit? You don't know what spirit you're of. We were reading that verse of Scripture this morning. What spirit are you of when you're tapping on those brakes? And I was thinking something else. He said, well, you know, when y'all put me through that driver's ed course, it said that if somebody was too close, you know, that you ought to tap on your brake, you know, you want to be safe. You know, maybe the person's texting or something and they're not paying attention, and you know, you tap on your brake and they see you and they're like, oh, thanks, you know, I appreciate that. Probably not, but, you know, well, one can only hope, you know, right? Or, you know, is that thought that's come to my mind before? It's probably come to your mind before, Heath. I don't know. I mean, I figure you're probably like me. Yeah. 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 And so you're like, I'm going to slam my brakes. And if he runs in the back of me, hey, I'm not at fault. He rear-ended me. You know, that's the letter. That's not the spirit. You know, the spirit is, Lord, you know, I don't want to get in an accident, and this person back here is in a hurry for some reason. I don't know. And he seems pretty angry, and I don't want to get tied up in all that. I'm having a good day, you know, right where I'm at, and I don't want to get involved in that unless I need to. If you need me to get involved in that, then for your glory, then okay. But, you know, I really don't want to antagonize this person. You know, how about my kids and the way that I raised them? What does the Scripture tell me about that in regards to being an antagonist? Doesn't use that word. What word does it use? Provoke. Can I provoke the guy behind me by slamming on my brakes? Oh, yeah. Well, as a parent, I'm not to provoke my children to anger. I can push their buttons just like they can push each other's buttons. You know, the sisters, they know what things they can do that's just really going to infuriate the other one or get their goat, you know, however you want to put it. You know, I can get theirs too. But I don't want to provoke my children to anger. You know, and we shouldn't want to provoke anybody into anger. You know. But, you know, spirit, letter, you know. So where are we at, you know, in all of these things? Are we in the spirit or are we of the letter? Now, our flesh can get involved and we can provoke people. But what's the difference? The person that's of the letter and the person that's outside of Christ, boy, I showed them. I got them back. They were riding on my bumper. I slammed on my brakes, and man, you should have seen them hitting theirs and stuff flying, you know. And their trailer went sideways, and they jackknifed, and all this stuff went all over the road. And the police went over there, and they got a ticket. And then, boy, I got them. No, that's not the way that we want to be. That's the way the world is, right? For me, if I did that, if in my flesh I had done that, what's going to happen to me afterwards? I'm probably going to go back and apologize to that guy, help him pick up all the stuff off the road, plead with the officer not to give him the ticket because I was the one that provoked him. You know, I don't know. It may not go that far, but you understand what I'm saying. The Lord's going to trouble me. Why? Because the Spirit of God is within me and He is going to be grieved because I have done something that has dishonored. And that's here in what we read about blaspheming the name of God among the Gentiles. I mean, okay, let me just use myself as an example. I'm not talking about a real thing that's happened, but people know, some people, who I am. People know that I preach. People know that I'm a pastor here. And how I act out there, it's no different from you. If they know you're a Christian, you profess to be a Christian, you start acting a certain way out there, you can give cause, give reason for the name of the Lord to be blasphemed. That I could be a stumbling block before someone else in a wrong way. Now, we see Christ as a stumbling block for some in Scripture, you know, for the Jew. Foolishness unto the Greeks, but a stumbling block, you know, unto the Jew. Why? That's not the kind of Messiah that we'd imagine. You know, he came and he was crucified. That's not right. That's not what I've been taught. That's not what I've read. Well, you may need to read some more. I mean, when you get over there in Isaiah and starts talking about, you know, him being crucified and you know, being slain, you know, for our sins, you know, there's got to be some understanding, you know, you've seen there about these things. But letter of the law, spirit of the law, you know, difference there. They had an outward ceremonial exterior instead of true inward holiness. Follow peace and godliness, holiness with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord, outside or inside. You know, is it in us? There's no partiality with God. Without holiness, these things that you're checking these boxes off of, you know, I attended Sunday school every day for, you know, the past 50 years. Never missed a beat. You know, this checking boxes is not going to cut it. What's inside? What about holiness of life? What about living for the Lord? What about being a doer of the things that you know the Scripture says? What about wanting to know, Lord, here's this thing that you said. I've wondered about that. How does that apply to me? How do I live according to that? You know, how do I do that? What does that look like? Those are the kind of questions that we're asking. The true Christian, not name only Christian, the true Jew, not name only Jew, those are the kind of things he wants to know. Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. You know, that's what he's desiring. He wants to step into the light and have the Lord look upon his heart and see if there be anything in there that's displeasing or dishonoring. Because I want to walk uprightly. I want to do what is right. Can I fall? Can I fail? Can I do what's wrong? Sure, I can. But after I've done it, like we've talked about so many times before, we just hang our heads in shame and say, Lord, why? I don't ever want to do that again. The world doesn't think that way. The world's not concerned about that. If they can get by with it, they're glad they got by with it. So, as we look at the true, these are those we saw in chapter 2 who inherit eternal life. That's what was said about them. They persevere in doing good. They seek for glory and honor and immortality. Their minds are on heavenly things. That's the marks. Here in chapter 2, those are the marks of the believer. Are those things a reality, you know, for us? Is what we need to be asking ourselves. Do we have truth in the inward parts? Or is it just outside, in the external? Fasting twice a week, memorizing the Scripture, whatever it is. What about new creation in Christ? What about a new nature? What about being, in Peter, a partaker of what? What does Peter talk about being a partaker of? The divine nature. Isn't that something to think about? Partaker of the divine nature, partaker of the nature of God. God's nature abiding within you. So do we apply these things unto ourselves? Because here we are, you know, we're listening to Paul and we're pointing our finger at these Jews. But what about us? Are we showing forth the glories of Christ? I texted Jana. You know who I'm talking to, some of you do, my cousin. Jenna, and she shares the same birthday with my wife. And so I was just joking around with her and saying, you were born on a special day, you know, because you were born on the same day as my wife. And but then I got serious and I started talking about what we have in Christ. And because she came back and she said, yes, I am blessed. She was joking back with me. And I said, yes, we are. That's when I got serious. We are children of the living God. We are the apple of his eye. We belong unto him. We're partakers of the divine nature. I mean, we can go on and on and on. We ought to be rejoicing. Rejoice, Philippians says. And again, I say, rejoice. If you didn't hear me the first time, let me tell you again, rejoice. You have reason. You have cause to rejoice. And so are we living, here's my point, are we living that before people? Are we living that rejoicing before people? They're living out their lives before us. Are we living out ours before them? I mean, that's the positive aspect of it. The negative aspect of it is that we do something that causes them to blaspheme the name of God and say, well, I don't see any difference between my life and that man's life. Why should I become a Christian? I mean, he's just like I am. He does the same things that I do. There's no difference. I don't see any power of God in his life. You know, that's what we're talking about here, about God's name being blasphemed in the midst of the Gentiles. I mean, it's one thing for us to be trusting the Lord, like we see the psalmist doing, and for the others, those outside, saying, "Where is his God now? Look at him. Look what he's going through. Where is his God?" Well, just wait. Here this man is, and he's seeking the Lord, and he's saying, "Lord, help. Lord, help." God shows up. They don't give glory for God. They give glory to God for that. You remember the story I told you that Brother Leiter was talking about when he used to lay carpet? Y'all remember that? And the guys were putting the cabinets in? Anybody? No? Okay. So the guys were putting the cabinets in, and they couldn't get this cabinet to fit. You know, it's got the space between here and here, and they're trying to shove it in, put it in. They can't get it in there, and they're just using God's name in vain and profaning his name, because what does God have to do with that cabinet fitting? You know, this is all men. You know, they're the ones that have built. God gave you the wood, but you're the one that made the mistake and didn't build the thing right. What are you blaming God for? You know, but here they were just profaning God's name, and finally the thing goes in. And Brother Leiter says, he's listening to this whole thing. He said, "What do you think happened next?" He said, "You think they thanked God because it went in? They were sure profaning his name because it didn't go in. Did they give him thanks when it did? No, they didn't. They didn't." So when they see God show up and they see the power of God, are they going to glorify him? Some might. I mean, it might be the thing the Lord uses to save them. But the one who have a heart that are suppressing the truth, like we saw in chapter 1, and those who don't want God in their thoughts, no, they're not going to praise God. When they see God show up and rescue his child, and see God show up and do the thing that his child needed, and they can look at it and they say, "That couldn't have happened except God did it. And that kind of stuff didn't just happen. You know, God did that." And do we see it even in the little things ourselves? I mean, I told y'all about this just recently. Here we were about to load this lawnmower. I don't take that lightly. Heath's on his way to a job. And he's driving through this way, and he sees us outside, and he kind of pulled. He could have kept going and just waved. Yeah. Said, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, we could wave back and say, "Hey, Heath." Yeah. But he stops. He didn't know I needed help loading a lawnmower. He didn't have to get out and help me, but he did jump down and help me push that thing right up on the trailer. To me, that's providential. That's God. That's God. It's how many things like that does God do when we see? We don't even realize. We don't even recognize. I mean, we ought to get to the day, end of the day, every day, Ryan, and we ought to say, "Lord, thank you for all the things that you did for me that I didn't see. Because I know you did. And I know you're causing all things to work together for my good." We talked about that this morning. But I know, Lord, I'm sorry. There's a bunch of things I didn't see. And there's some things negatively that happened today that I didn't give you thanks for. But you have said in your word that you cause all things to work together for good. I didn't like that. You know, the way that customer talked to me, you know. And he didn't talk, you know, he just hung up on me. You know. But their attitude, you know, about things, there's lots of things about my job I can say I don't like. Lots of things you can say about your job you don't like, I'm sure. But God's causing all things to work together for our good. So when that negative thing happens during the day, Lord, I don't know exactly what you're doing there except to humble me. I can see that. I could see that you humbled my pride. Because in that situation, I had to, not that one, but in that situation, I had to swallow it. And I had to let that customer just chew on me, and I didn't even have anything to do with it. They were just looking for somebody to vent towards. And so, okay, you know, I can be the whipping post or whipping boy, you know, if I need to be, and say, "Yes, ma'am, I'm so sorry, ma'am. You know, I'm sorry that happened, and we'll let's try to fix it." You know, even though I didn't cause the problem. How many times have you had to do that? You know, at the office, we've all had to do it. You know, if you work in any kind of thing to do with anything with customers, it's probably going to happen. Somebody's going to get upset. Now, your customers complained, Brother Doug, but you know they didn't have. They got more rights probably than what you thought they should have. But your customers were in prison. mine aren't yet. Not yet. Some of them might be heading there. I don't know. But we want God's name not to be blasphemed. We want God's name to be glorified. Let men see your good works. Why? That they may glorify our Father which is heaven. That's what we're after. We want men to see our good works, that our Father might be glorified in heaven. Which comes down to, even if I had crossed words with the person at work, I go back to them and tell them, I'm sorry. You know, they may have been in the wrong, you know, but hey, I'm the one that got upset. And I said things that the Lord said vengeance belongs to Him. He will repay. I don't need to, you know, exchange, words with them in that sense. I mean, I can state my case and I can say, you're not right here. But I can be calm about it. I can speak the truth in what? Love. I can speak the truth in love, but it's just like those brakes and hitting that, you know, you want your flesh like, that stings, and I want you to see what it feels like, you know. Call down fire from heaven. Lord, shouldn't we call down fire from heaven? These people haven't accepted our word. We want to be like, you know, we want people to see like Elijah. You know, there was those prophets of Baal, and in the end, what did the people say? The Lord God, He is God. Now that's what we want people to be able to see. The world's got a whole different idea of things. You know, I read that to you about Spurgeon, the quote that he made about all his affliction. And we said that this is the quote that he made. I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages, that throws me against Christ. The problems, the troubles, the physical infirmities that you face, they cast you upon Christ. I mean, how many times have I been in a position where there was this little pill that the doctor gave me, but Lord, I'm still hurt. Help me. Man can't help me. Help me, Lord. Please help me. And the world looks at that and they say, what kind of God do you serve? You're saying to me that God would let that come into your life. He has the power not to let that happen to you. But you're telling me that God would let that thing happen to you for your good. I can't see it. And let me try to help and show you. This is casting me upon the Lord. This is where I need to be. This is for my good, or the Lord wouldn't do it. I can't see it. And they can't. We can try to show them and try to reveal it to them. We can quote scripture to them. You know, this is what God's word says about that. It causes all things to work together for my good. I have to believe that. Well, yeah, you've got your faith in the wrong thing. You know, this is what I put my faith in. And I got this gun right here. You know, my faith's not in. I'm not saying anything. I know some of you are concealed carrying, you know, people, but we ought to prepare ourselves for things, I guess. But ultimately, the Lord's in control, right? Ultimately, He's in control. But God's name dishonored. Lord, let it not be by what we do. Let God's name be honored by what we do. So the Christian, what we're saying in Romans chapter 2, is not something external, but it is of the heart, of the Spirit, the inward operation of the Holy Spirit within us. This is what we're looking for. This is what, you know, we can impress men. And you can live a certain way, do certain things, and you can speak a certain way, and you can impress people, and you can get the praise of men. But that's not what we're after. Isn't that what verse number 29 says? Whose praise is not of men, but of God. God looks upon the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. So, what about your heart? What does it say there? What kind of heart? Blessed are the pure in heart. Does that describe your heart? Do you seek for your heart to be pure before God? Do you seek for your thoughts to be pure before God, your speech to be pure before God, and you're doing it before God so that God might be glorified and honored? That's the inward. That's not what the Pharisees were. It was all about the outward. So people think that they're Christians and have nothing to hang it on except for, I checked this box, checked that box. I was baptized. My name was written down on a church roll. I partook of the Lord's Supper. I mean, it gets worse. Let's keep going with that. Their knowledge of the Scripture. I mean, some people hang their salvation upon the knowledge of the Scripture. I believe there's a God. Let me tell you what the Bible says about God. Let me try to instruct you about this. Apparently, you don't know. Even the devils believe and tremble. the Bible says. Well, you know, some people, I believe the gospel. But it's kind of a theoretical idea of the gospel. It's not a reality within them. It's all up here in the intellect. It doesn't leave there. It's just in the thoughts and in the mind. It's not in the heart, and they're not living it, is what we're talking about. Well, I do believe. What do you believe? Because you believe that there was a man named Jesus historically, and that he did come and die upon the cross, and even goes so far as to say that he did even die upon a cross to save, you know, people from their sins. People can believe that. I mean, you understand what I'm saying, right? There are people who say they believe that, but there is nothing within them. There is no life. There is no light within. It's just something they confess with their mouth. Scripture talks about that. There are people who draw nigh to God with their mouth, but their hearts are far from Him. So it really all boils down to the heart. What's your heart like? What's my heart like before God? Because everything else is like the Jew relying upon circumcision. They're hanging their hat on something else, or forget hat. They're hanging their hope on something else besides Christ. Something else. You think about the terminology that's used in the courtroom, and there's cross-examination. You got the witness, and this guy's got a chance to talk to him, and this guy's got a chance to talk to him, and they're going to cross-examine him. Well, when it comes to the kind of cross-examination we would be talking about, that event of the cross, not two people examining one person, but that event of the cross, you know, where does it leave us? Where does it leave us? What are we relying upon? Are we truly relying upon Christ? Is that where our hope is? And we can only say that our hope is there because of where our hearts are. And we're seeking, are we seeking to live for Him? I mean, think about these Pharisees. And you go back there in Jeremiah, what does it say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? These men were hanging their hope and relying upon something else besides Christ. And their hearts were deceiving them. They had a form of godliness, but they did not have an inward reality. And that's what Paul is dealing with here in talking to them. Where is the fruit of your living for God? Is the practical question. It's the new nature that matters. We may say we believe it all, but what matters is, are we born again? Is there a difference? Is there a change within us? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The new heart, the clean heart, the heart in which the Holy Spirit dwells, that's the thing that proclaims we are truly Christian. You know, we sang that hymn, the Spirit answers and tells me that I am born of God. That's what we're talking about. That's an inward thing. The Spirit answers and tells me that I, Abba, Father. There's that which in me that cries out, Abba, Father. Anything outside of that, you've erected some kind of a tower that you're abiding in and relying upon that thing instead of, you know, Christ.